we had the first T-ball game last weekend.
How'd it go?
Well, all right. I don't want to show up unless they're going to play to win. You know
right.
what I mean?
That's the Davern way.
I mean, they're 5 years old. They're playing T-ball for the first time ever. But I don't care. I want to bring home a championship. I want a pennant. I want a banner. You know what I mean?
That's a lot for T-ball. Do they
I
do pennants?
I want to win, baby. Look, these other teams don't even want to keep score.
Ugh!
And I'm like, well, then what's the point?
All right, so snowflakes.
I got Mrs. Davern up in the bleachers, you know, making tally marks.
Oh, yeah.
Because even if the league doesn't recognize a championship, I want to bring home the chip.
Yeah. You at least want to keep track of your kids' RBIs. You got to have those key performance indicators through their baseball career.
Hey, man.
You got to have a benchmark, know where they started.
Analytics, baby.
Right?
So we go to the game, and I'm the assistant coach. So I don't have much power, you know, but I've got a lot of spirit. And it was a lot of fun, actually. I think there's 10 kids on the team, 10 or 11 kids on the team. And the way they have it set up is they play 4 innings if they can get through all 4 innings. And when it's your turn to bat, when it's your team's turn to bat, each kid gets to bat. So all 11 kids bat every inning. If there is an out, so if the pitcher picks up the ball and manages to throw it to first base and the first baseman manages to catch it and step on first base before the runner gets there, that kid is out. But they still bat all 11 kids. And the 11th kid, when he or she hits it, just runs the entire bases. Just clears them all out.
Man, and is it alphabetical or do they change the 11th person so that everyone can enjoy making it around the bases no matter what?
Well, they swap it up every game. So the lineup stays the same throughout the game, but then they swap it up at, you know, for the next game or whatever. But anyway, so the first game was this last weekend. It was a lot of fun. The kids had a great time. I don't actually keep score. I'm just joking. But
you do.
I do in my head. but it was a lot of fun, and they have their little uniforms, and they got their names on the back of their shirts, and, you know, all their pants are too big for them and stuff. And so we got this one kid on the team that hits the ball, and then he's rounding first, going towards second. His pants are falling down. He's trying to pull them up as he's running. I mean, it's great. It's good times. But the one story that sticks out in particular is that being a coach, I'm on the field the whole time.
Right.
So when they're batting, me and the other coach were trading off between who was doing first base, who was doing second base coaching. And then when our team is in the field, we're also standing around on the infield, making sure the kids are in the right position and, you know, yelling at them, like, throw the ball to first, throw it to first, you know, and everything's like, good job, good try. You know, it's all very positive. So I think it's the second inning, and I'm out there in the field. I'm standing sort of behind where the shortstop would be, somewhere in there.
Okay.
And the other team there's a kid on second and a kid on first and a kid batting.
Okay.
The third base coach, so the other team's coach, but I'm kind of close, so I hear this whole exchange. He looks at the kid on second base and he goes, I don't remember the kid's name, but he's like, hey, Jonathan! And the kid on second base looks at him and he goes, you got a pee-pee? And I kind of look at the coach, and the coach looks at me, and he goes, his mom thinks he might have to pee. Wait, hold on. Oh, you never know when it's coming in. I wasn't done.
You'll finish it later.
Hold that thought. Tire pressure, playing catch, time out corner, doing raves. It's your bedtime, eat your veggies. Pull up a lawn chair and open some suds. Crack some dad jokes with these dead buds. You better behave or they'll turn this damn car right around. Radioactive Chats. Okay, so anyway.
Please continue.
He goes, Jonathan, you got a pee-pee? And the kid, now you got to envision the kid. He's on second base. First T-ball game of his life. And he has like stick on eye black.
Oh, he did the thing.
Oh, yeah. Under his eyes, like they're little, like, they look like Band-Aids.
Yeah.
But they're black. Under his eyes. He's got his batting helmet on. He's got batting gloves on. He's got his baseball pants. He's got his cleats.
Oh, you know, they went to Big Five before this game.
Oh, this kid's playing baseball, right? hey, Jonathan, you got a pee-pee? The kid looks over, and he looks at the coach, and he just nods. Mm-hmm. And the coach goes, come on, buddy. It's the middle of the inning. He's on second base. And so the mom comes around the fence and just takes the kid. They go running off towards center field, and they keep going all the way to the bathroom.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you just dropped trow and peed in center field.
No. But when he left the base, I had a notion to tell the catcher to fire it down to second. let's try to step on the bag and get an extra out here.
That's what you get, Jonathan.
Come on, buddy.
That's so funny. I wonder what he did. That's such an in-tune mom.
Oh, yeah.
To see their kid on second base and be like, he needs to go.
He's probably doing the pee-pee dance a little bit.
Yeah.
Out there.
Also, I love that he didn't bother, like, manifying it, datifying it. Like, hey, Jonathan, you gotta take a leak.
Yeah, that was the
best
part.
You gotta go to the bathroom. Jonathan, do you need to go pee-pee?
Jonathan, you got a pee-pee? That's the exact inflection, the exact wordage.
Hey, you gotta go pee-pee.
It was pretty funny, man. Also, before the game, because it was opening day for the entire league, they had a bit of a jamboree before the game where every team was there. The whole park was full. It's one of these parks where there's four baseball fields and they all back up to each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So all the outfields meet.
Uh-huh.
So it's a big, big place. And they probably had 1,000 people out there on the field. Like, no joke.
Wow.
Between all the parents and grandparents and all the kids. And because there's different age groups. I mean, they do pre-T-ball all the way up through like being 13, 14 years old. So a lot of kids out there and stuff. And so all the teams are lined up out in the outfield, and they sang the national anthem. Like, they had someone there. They had the local precinct sergeant throughout the first pitch and stuff. I mean, they made a big deal out of it. But what was an interesting part was the announcer guy who was holding the microphone, they had all the players raise their right hand and do, like, a player pledge, which was like, I will have fun, I will, you know, be a good sport and treat the game with respect. Like,
Boy Scout-y.
It was nice.
Yeah.
And then they said, and now the coaches raised their right hand. And I was like, I kind of want to hear what you have to say first.
Yeah.
But I was like, all right. So I raised my hand, and the guy was like, I will not take the game too seriously. You know, he's like, repeat after me. I will not take the game too seriously. And I was like,
as you're like cross finger in your back pocket.
Yeah. And then the coach was like, you know, having fun is the most important thing. And I was like, fun is the most important thing. I was having trouble with it. I will respect the umpire's decision. You know? That was one they said. Then hold on.
Okay.
Then they had the parents raise their right hand. And they had them repeat things like, I will not run out onto the field for any reason.
Unless my kid has to go pee-pee.
I will not argue with the umpires. And it was weird because I did have a moment where I was like, is this 2020? This is 2020.
Yeah, that's a very 2020 thing
That's
to have
what
to
it
do.
Is, right?
Yep.
I don't remember my parents having to take a pledge when I was in Little League. It was understood that you wouldn't run out on the field and beat up a coach.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And they tried to keep it fun and light and be funny with it. Like, for instance, when he said, when he was having the parents and the coaches repeat, I will not argue with the umpire, he goes, repeat after me, I will not argue with the umpire. And everyone goes, I will not argue with the umpire. And then he goes, I will not argue with the umpire. So they were being funny about it,
yeah,
but they were also being serious.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, what times are we living in here?
Yeah, you know, there was that one annoying parent who just every year was like, there needs to be an oath.
Oh, yeah.
We need to just keep things.
Oh, yeah.
Just even across the board.
My brother and I, we grew up umpiring baseball games. That was one of my first jobs.
Wow.
When I was 15, 16.
They would entrust that to a 15-year-old?
Yeah, for the kids that were, it was like we would umpire when the kids first started pitching, so maybe 10-year-olds and stuff, and we were like 16. And you can call balls and strikes at that point. And it was actually a really great first job because they give you, you know, $20 a game or something like that. And or I don't know what worked out to be. But you do 5 or 6 games in an afternoon or 4 or 5 games. And it was fun. And I had to throw out a couple parents. I've thrown out some coaches.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you throw down your helmet and do that? Yeah. thing?
Not that dramatic, but I made a coach leave the game one time because he pushed me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
That's right.
Fisticuffs?
He gave me a, not like a shove with his hands, but he gave me like a real hard chest bump, and he was on purpose, and he was trying to intimidate. And I was a 16-year-old kid, but I played a lot of baseball growing up. I knew what I was talking about. And he was upset. I don't remember what he was upset about, but he was upset about, you know, something arbitrary, balls and strikes, like something that everyone argues, but you go, come on, like,
yeah,
give me a break. Like, maybe that ball was a little outside, but they're 10 years old. Get over it, you know? Yeah. And so it was between innings, and I was telling him, like, all right, coach, like, you got to stop arguing balls and strikes. We're here to have fun. Calm down, like, you know, whatever. And he was just all upset and hot and bothered about it. And then the next inning started, and, you know, whatever it was, he didn't like the call. And he comes walking out, and I go walking over to meet him, and he chest bumps me. But the cool thing about doing it with your brother is my brother was the field umpire. Mm. So my brother was like, whoa, back off, coach. And, like, you know, he started having my back and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, that's it. You're out of here. You're going to, you know, you got to go watch from the parking lot. And the parents are getting involved, you know. And, yeah, wow. man, he took that long walk out to the parking lot, though.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was good, man. It was good. And then there was another time I threw a parent out who was in the stands. Because it was just like, this, you know, some of these parents are just.
Oh. Yeah. You don't even.
This guy, too, I remember specifically, he was, like, yelling at players. He was being, you know, like, yelling at kids that aren't his kid, you know, in like a way, and then also arguing with umpire calls and stuff like that. And so I remember standing up between innings and just being like, you got to go. You got to get out of here. And the other parents around him being like, oh, come on, he's fine. And I was like, no, that's it. I've given him warning after warning. He's being annoying. Da-da. He's like, I'm not leaving. And so I started taking off the chest protector of the umpire. You know, I was behind the plate. Mm. And I started taking off the mask and the chest protector. I was like, fine, then he can umpire the game. Like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but the game won't count. And then all of a sudden they were like, well, no, put that back on. And then they made him leave. Wow. The other parents, they were like, fine, you do have to go, Bill.
Man.
And
was
there
that, Brett, I can just only imagine.
I used to get a little hot-headed.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But I think that you were within reason for doing that. Do you think that was 16-year-old Brett's first brush with true absolute power?
Yeah.
And that you liked it just a little bit.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah,
that you as a 16-year-old could tell a coach and a parent, GTFO,
get
to the parking lot, you're out of my game.
Do not pass go. Get out of here.
How'd that feel at 16?
It was amazing. It was amazing.
I wish I had umpired at 16.
I umpired so many games. So I want to be clear about this. I umpired hundreds and hundreds of Little League baseball games and only had to throw someone out twice. Two different times, a coach and a player.
You're
That's
a forgiving
it.
Umpire.
Yeah, and you get yelled at all the time. But I used to just give a warning. I would just go like, come on, coach. Like, you know. And we're talking about 10-year-olds too, by the way. My line to them always was like, come on, coach. They're not trying out for the show next week. Calm down. This isn't, you know, I used to say like, there's no major league scouts here. Calm down.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a game. We're all here to have fun.
Yeah.
Anyway. My dad got thrown out of a baseball game as a coach one time.
Really?
I don't know if you'd want me to tell that story.
What level? Like a high school game or?
No. We were like in third grade.
Okay, so this was a Little League. So he was the coach on a Little League team.
Yeah, for my team.
Great.
Yeah, he got thrown out of the game. However, so they threw him out of the gym because he was kind of right, by the way. They used to have that rule where you can't guard the other team in the backcourt. You got to wait till they cross.
Are we talking about basketball now?
Yeah, basketball.
Oh.
They had this rule where you can't guard the other team in the backcourt, whatever it was, if you had possession of the ball, right?
Yeah.
So the other team inbounded the ball, and the kid didn't catch the ball. So the ball's rolling around. So one of our team goes back there and tries to pick it up, and the ref blows the whistle and calls a foul because you're not supposed to be able to guard in the backcourt. But my dad was like, look, they didn't have possession of the ball. Give me a break. So he starts arguing with the kid, which he was right, by the way. But the ref didn't like it, whatever, and was like, yeah, get out of here. You're out of the game. So he threw him out. But here's the thing, and I've never really asked him about this, but after the game, we went out to the parking lot, and he was sitting in the car listening to the Seattle Supersonics basketball game on the radio, and the Sonics were pretty far into the playoffs that year. And I'm wondering if maybe sneakily he was like, I want to go check out the game. I'm gonna get myself thrown out of this one.
On a technicality, yeah. So that it looks convincing.
I've never actually asked him if that's the case, but we did go out to the car, and there was a pretty heated game going on with the Utah Jazz on the car radio, and he was rooting pretty hard for the Sonics. And it was like the Western Conference Finals or something. I mean, it was a big game.
I'll bet what it probably was is that he had his little pocket radio in his pocket, and he had the earbud in.
Maybe.
While he was listening to the game, yeah. And his batteries died. Mm-hmm. He was like, ah, shoot. Mm-hmm. Hey, ref! Hey, Blue! You suck!
Get me out of here.
Get me out of here. I gotta get to the car.
There's a scene in the movie Hoosiers. Here's a dad reference for you.
Oy.
The movie Hoosiers, mm-hmm. which is a great movie, starring Gene Hackman. He plays the basketball coach, and there's a scene where he whispers to the referee, throw me out of the game. Throw me out of the game. And then he makes like a fake scene, and he goes, throw me out of the game. And he wants to get thrown out of the game because he wants his assistant coach to have to step up and do something. Mm-hmm. But I feel like maybe my dad was doing that in the game that I was playing. He was going like, making a scene, but then under his breath going, throw me out of the game. I want to go listen to the Sonics. Throw me out of the game.
That's,
maybe.
That is a brilliant, that is a grade A-plus dad move.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're, like, sticking up for your team.
Yeah.
You're the ultimate winner.
Yeah.
You're willing to commit to, like, getting thrown out of the game for your kids. And you get to go listen to the Sonics.
I wonder if anyone out there, who's got some good parenting sports stories?
Yeah.
But not your, I don't want to hear about your glory days. I want to hear about you as a parent watching sports or something that your parent did while you were playing sports.
Yeah.
I don't want any stories about you winning the state championship as a quarterback.
Yeah, about how you peaked in high school.
Yeah, I know. I don't need those stories.
Yeah.
What about you? You play sports? Your parents ever got thrown out or argued with any referees or anything like that?
No, I feel like my dad was pretty standard. He also, I was playing kind of at the same time as all of my brothers because it would all be on one
day.
It was just on Saturday.
Yeah.
So he'd be bopping from field to field.
Right,
sort of
right.
Like watching, you know, because I was in rookies and then my middle brother was in farm and then my oldest brother was in majors or whatever the progression was. So I don't really remember them at too many games specifically, but I think they blended in pretty well. They didn't want to be that parent.
Right.
But my dad was an assistant coach on my first T-ball team, the Tigers.
Nice.
So I do recall getting a little bit of help from him from the sidelines. But yeah, he was a good boy. He never got himself in trouble.
I feel like the first 4 or 5 years of your kid's life, you're trying not to be that parent. But then after that, you kind of forget that maybe.
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
I guess.
That's what happens.
Yeah. You're just, you know, you've established I'm a good parent. Now I'm just going to throw it all to the wind.
It was funny, though. Or it was great watching them play T-ball. And it was a lot of fun being there for the first game. And I have to tell you that both bleachers full of parents were pretty much just laughing the entire time.
Yeah, oh, sure.
So much so funny cute. Stuff was happening. This little girl on our team, she's such a sweet little girl. And she hit the ball. It barely rolled 4 feet, and she literally walked to first base. It was amazing.
Wow.
And she made it, by the way, safely, because they were throwing the ball all over the place. But every parent was yelling, like, go, 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 like, run, go, go. And she just was looking at the stands just walking. Like, she didn't know what to do. Everyone's kind of yelling at her, but in a very positive way.
Yeah.
But she was so overwhelmed, and it was
just sounds like, rah, rah, rah,
it was hilarious. There were, I was standing on the field just laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
Because there's just, I mean, too many stories to count of just the ball flying everywhere and, you know, kids making a home run after hitting it 6 feet because it's just, you're just yelling like, go, go, go. They're still throwing it.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Man.
It was good.
That's so great.
Yeah, it was good times. Oh, funny thing though, and Mrs. Davern told me about this one. And well, let me get your thoughts on this. So after the game, they do the thing where we line up and we all go, good game, good game, good game, right?
Yeah.
You know, you high five everybody, right? You go through the line.
Yeah.
2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? Yeah, exactly. So we're going through the line and I'm the assistant coach, so I'm at the end of the line, right? And as we're going through the line, just instinctively, I'm just saying, high five, high five, high five, good game, high five, high five. I'm actually saying out loud, high five, like kind of telling the kids what to do.
Yeah. Because
they've never done it before.
Right.
Well, Mrs. Davern clocked that the other coach on the other team gave me a weird look for going through the line.
Hmm.
We think it's because I was saying high five, and she noticed he was only doing fist bumps. Maybe it's a coronavirus thing.
Maybe it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh. He gave me a weird look, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, that's a whole other... Oh, let's take a break. There's stuff to talk about there.
You
want to
get into coronavirus?
Let's get into some coronavirus.
All right. From T-ball to coronavirus.
The easiest transition of all time.
Oh, boy. We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back to Radioactive Dads, everybody. We're the Radioactive Dads.
That's us.
We do this little silly podcast to talk about what's going on in our lives, primarily.
Yeah, Nathan Kress played Freddie on iCarly, and I played a guy named Jake on Awkward on MTV back in the day. And now we have kids.
Yeah, I think times have changed.
And we need someone to talk to.
Gotta have a vent sesh.
So we talk to each other.
And today, we're talking about your very first T-ball game.
Yeah.
Which went dark real quick right there before the break.
Well...
Potentially.
A lot of parents are freaked out about coronavirus.
Yeah.
So this
understandable.
And a lot of people are freaked out about coronavirus, and they, you know, I guess it makes sense. I don't know. There's such conflicting reports out there about whether we should be worried about this or not. But anyway, I did notice at the T-ball game and around the field and everything that parents seem very concerned about hanging out around other people.
Yeah.
And I was asking you before the break, Nathan Kress. Are you worried and are you thinking about it?
Especially in the context of children who we all know very well are just walking petri dishes.
Yeah, they pick everything up.
Everything. Especially the really young ones because they're not great at washing their hands yet. Mm-hmm. You really have to, you know, stay on them and stuff just spreads so quickly. And basically, since this is essentially kind of a flu, like, what is it? The elderly and kids two and under are, like, especially... You know, and I guess Rosie's a little older than two now, but she's still kind of in that.
She's right there.
She's right there. She's in that area. I definitely am a little bit concerned about it, and I think what you were saying before the break of, like, the coach doing fist bumps or elbow bumps or whatever else isn't a bad idea. I'm going to be a little bit more concerned when it, like, breaks ground in L.A. County because I think it's more in the north, like, central and north. Like, it's in Fresno. I think that's as far south as it's gone, I think. Or is it in San Diego, too?
Well.
Or is it in L.A. now?
Buddy.
Well, it's probably in L.A. by now, knowing just, you know.
I've never had a Facebook, but Mrs. Davern has Facebook. And she's in all these mom groups on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. They're all freaking out. And apparently one of them works at some hospital over in, like, I don't know if I should be saying. I'm going to keep it all very vague just in case.
Okay.
But one of the people in one of these groups is a nurse or a doctor, I'm not sure, and works at a hospital and says that there's two people there right now confirmed corona cases.
In Southern California.
It's in Los Angeles County.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's true or not.
I don't know either.
I mean, look, I'm putting the disclaimer on it. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what's flying around this Facebook group, furthering my point that I don't know if we should be worried about this or not because I don't know how to confirm it or not, and also it might just be a lot of paranoia. And with the internet nowadays and everything, how everybody – there's so much misinformation about everything that goes on.
Yeah.
That's why I don't really know how to feel about it.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is that it – basically is the flu. 80% of people who have it have a mild case. And it has what, like a 2-3% fatality rate? That's a really low fatality rate.
I'll take those odds.
That's pretty good odds. Even if you got it, there's an 80% chance it's not going to be anything more than just what a typical flu would feel like. So I don't feel horrible about it. It is making me more conscious about going to very public places and sanitizing more and trying to get Rosie to wash her hands more because we already barely do it, which is, you know, not great. But being more conscious of it, and if you don't have to go somewhere, maybe don't. But I also don't buy into the paranoia. Like, we went to Costco the other day, and there were signs on the cases of water saying, limit 2 per customer.
Ugh.
It's like, come on, buddy. Are we going to run out of water when everyone gets the flu? You know, like, is the utility going to shut off?
I was going to say, like, what do people think is going to happen? Water comes out of your faucet. Are they going to stop plumbing? Like, are they going to, is LADWP, they're just going to turn off the water?
Unless people think it's going to get into the water. That's the only thing that I could think of. But then that's why they boil, you have boiling warnings.
I don't know, man. My mom, you know, bless her heart, like, is asking, like, are we stocking up on things and whatever? And I just go, no.
Yeah.
No, I, no.
Yeah.
Because, no, yeah. I'll be all right.
Yeah. We got water because we actually needed bottled water because we ran out.
We always have some laying around the house. There's always a case laying around.
But then, like, also, you know, we didn't get any hand sanitizer. No. We actually probably should have, just because it's easier to walk by and get a pump of hand sanitizer rather than washing your hands every, you know, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But we really haven't done anything. Len and I were, like, laying in bed yesterday, just kind of going, are we bad parents?
That's what I was
because
thinking.
It seems like all the maymays floating around the internet are just showing empty shelves of toilet paper and sanitizer and water. Like, everyone's just stocking up like it's the end of it. The problem. So here's what, Brett?
I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah?
I have to stop you. I'm going to interrupt you. All the maymay?
Yeah, that's.
What is that?
It's like a popular internet picture with a funny caption. A maymay.
That's what you call it?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
For real, that's what you call it?
When I'm feeling like it.
Aren't they memes?
It's a meow meow. Meow meow.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Moi
moi. Okay.
Moi moi.
Let me pause the coronavirus conversation for 1 second, because I got to break this down. So you were just talking about people talking about the coronavirus online, and you said, you know, there's a lot of, like, may going around the internet, which I thought was just a Nathan Kress way of saying, like, you know, there's a lot of this hubbub going around the internet, right?
Yeah.
But then when asked about it, now you're saying that's how you pronounce meme? Is that right?
Is
Do
it
I have
wrong?
That correct?
Can you just say may if you feel like it?
I mean, you can. I understood what you meant. I'm just saying, were you saying it because you think that's how meme is pronounced, or were you saying it instead of saying hubbub?
That's a pretty good way of putting it.
I'm asking the question, though.
I mean, I've heard a lot of people pronounce it a lot of different ways.
Okay.
So it kind of depends on the context.
I know, but how were you using it?
In my context, it was more a sarcastic, like,
hubbub.
Yeah, like may.
Right. But is that also how you pronounce it?
Not usually.
Okay. All right.
Depends on the day.
All right. All right. All right. I just had to know.
That's a fair question.
I've never heard anyone say may in that way.
Really?
No.
I feel like half the people that say meme would say may in certain contexts.
I don't know.
Do you say gif or jif?
Gif.
Good. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what the inventor of the GIF says. It's pronounced GIF. Because GIF is peanut butter.
Yeah, I agree. Choosy moms.
That's what they choose.
Yeah.
And also, the G stands for graphics, not giraffics.
All right, we've gotten off.
That's a tangent.
We've gone off on a lot of may today. There's been a lot of may about that.
It's true. All that to say, I think that it's very much blown out of proportion. I don't think there's anything wrong with being conscious of it.
Yeah.
But until we're getting to the point where, you know, people are being actively told to stay inside, like different countries are doing it different ways. Like, Italy is shutting down the northern half of their country, which is hilarious because they have open border policies with the rest of Europe. So everyone's just in northern Italy is like, well, I'm just going to get on a train and go to Switzerland. So, like, by doing that, they're just spreading it into other countries.
Why is it Italy and China?
Maybe there's a lot of Italians, like, going to, like, there's a touristy thing going on there.
I don't know.
But it does seem, it just seems like every country has a whole different perspective on, you know, how to handle it and what's going on. I do think it's going to fizzle. I don't think it's going to go to H1N1 levels. But that's the thing. H1N1 was so much worse.
Mm.
But because it happened in 2009, before anybody could really tweet about it, there's just not this fury and incredible, like, reach of the average person being able to say that they're scared of this thing. I think it's becoming funnier than anything. Like, when all this stuff happened with Soleimani getting blown up by the UAV.
Whoa, what?
The
I'm getting the bends over here.
The, the Iranian general.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who was
yeah,
like,
yeah,
quote-unquote, assassinated yeah, yeah, by a
yeah,
drone.
Yeah, yeah.
World War III was trending within like 2 hours. Right, and it was right, people just posting GIFs of like me and my homies rolling up for World War III.
Right,
and, you
right,
know, it was just
there
funny
was
stuff,
a lot of may-may about that.
There was
that,
a lot of may-may about
tons
World
of
War III. May-may.
There wasn't a lot of may-may about H1N1, though.
No, because...
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, because
no
Twitter
may-may
was in its infancy. No one realized that they could get internet famous by posting something funny about a horrible thing that was happening in the world.
What kind of may-may can we start?
Infinite may-may.
We need to start all the may-may.
There has to be a opening for niche dad may-may out there somewhere. In like maybe like the disaster preparedness space.
Oh, that's
you know,
good.
Like what? Okay. Okay. Ooh, deep dive.
Okay.
Deep dive.
Deep dive.
What happens? I don't know. Should we? I don't know if we should take a break because this might.
Well, ask the question.
Okay, the question is.
Yeah.
Say this. Say this goes there. Say coronavirus mutates.
Whoa.
And it becomes like a deadly, Walking Dead level epidemic.
Like a movie. Well, people are. Wait, are people becoming zombies?
Well, maybe they're not becoming zombies, but like. The world is getting infected and it's killing, like Contagion level.
Okay.
Like Jude Law, Matt Damon,
but they're
Gwyneth
not stumbling
Paltrow
around eating people's
no,
brains.
No, that's a physical impossibility, and we can talk about that at a later date. I have a lot of theories about how that would never work. But say that this just becomes a hyper deadly, like Spanish flu level, but more worldwide because international
yeah,
travel's bigger.
Yeah.
It's the S has hit the F. What are you doing? Where are you going? Are you prepared? Are you not prepared? What's your plan?
I appreciate you not saying the word fan.
It's a family show.
I appreciate you controlling yourself.
I don't want to offend anyone with that F word.
So you want to know what I would do?
Yeah, I want to know what you would do. Where would you go?
Okay.
We got to take a break, though, because this is going to be a big one.
All right.
Stick around, everybody.
All right, we're back on Doomsday Dads.
Radioactive Dads actually sounds really good for this context,
that's
too.
That's a good point, actually. Okay, what would I do if coronavirus, you know...
Went viral.
...continues on the path that it's on, but goes, like, grows exponentially and is really becoming a thing and taking over.
And becomes deadly, like,
becomes
actively deadly.
Something from a movie. Okay. Get in the car. Mm-hmm. Start driving somewhere.
Yep.
You got to get out of here.
Well,
pack up the camping gear and we got to get out of here, right? I guess that's number one.
Well, yeah, okay, continue.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking.
I feel like I should write this down.
I'm thinking you got to get out of the city as fast as possible. That's what I'm thinking.
Out of the city. Okay, So you're living in, like, Los Angeles County, but you're not in, like, the city. You're not downtown. You're not in the densely hyper-populated
no,
area, per se. You're more in the suburbs, like
that's
I
true,
am.
That's true, but...
So, but you still, even then, you want to get away...
Yeah, we got to get out of here.
Okay.
We got to get out of here. We got to go... We got to pull Ben Foster in that movie where he's living in the woods with his kid up in Portland. I don't remember the name of the movie, but... When it was nominated for awards a couple years ago. Anyway, we got to pull one of those. I got to get out of here. I got to get out into the woods. I'm going to start camping, bring all my gear up there. I guess I'd have to go buy a gun. I don't know. We've talked about guns before. I don't have any guns. I guess I'd have to go buy a gun, maybe.
I guess you would.
I guess maybe. Just why not? Have a tool. Like, yeah. I guess so.
Yeah.
If I'm going to go live out in the woods, I'm going to need to probably shoot something
yeah,
to eat.
Even yeah, literally just even for the purpose of hunting
and,
or just protecting yourself
and
from
for protection,
mountain
then, because I don't have a front door and an alarm system
right,
and everything else that
whether
goes
it's
along with it.
People or wildlife,
or
you're more at risk.
Force. I mean, if you're talking about like literally like movie level whatever, then there's
yeah,
no police force, the government's
yeah,
being shut down. So
mm-hmm,
at
no
that point, I
you,
guess I'll invoke my Second Amendment rights. And then... I don't know. Hopefully the grocery store has some stuff on the way out of town. And then I guess you just try to get somewhere with some fresh air and try to ride it out, I guess. I don't
yeah,
know. That's really all I got. I don't have a bunker in the backyard, and it's too late to start digging.
Right.
So.
Unless it's your grave.
Oh, boy. Oh, it's dark. What would you do?
Well, so I want to ask follow-up questions.
Okay.
So your three main things.
All right. We got to keep track of time, though, because I got to get your answer.
Right. So get in the car and go.
I think so.
Get a gun.
I wouldn't. I mean, if I think it's only going to last 4 or 5 days, I'll just stock up on groceries and I'll be fine.
I think a global pandemic is
an
extinction level event. I think it's more than 4 or 5 days.
Going to probably need a gun. I'll have to get the kids my first gun as well. You know what I mean?
Little like, Red Ryder.
Something in some nice packaging that looks all cutesy.
Yeah, like definitely, you know? Hot pink.
Yeah, for something. The girl. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Hot pink AR-15.
Yeah, exactly. They sell those.
Oh, I know they do.
Yep. So get a gun and then go to the grocery store.
I think so. Hit the grocery store on the way out of town for sure. Or a mini mart at worst case, you know?
Right. Just get some beef jerky. Get some hot links.
Totally. A couple cases of beer.
Some mixed nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happens when they announce, okay, everybody's dying, and then everyone hits the freeway?
Yeah, I know.
Everyone hops on the 405.
Well, luckily, my house is already pretty far north, so I'm already...
You'd have a head start.
I got a little bit of a head start in front of them. Also, you know, I got an SUV with four-wheel drive. We can go off-road. It's okay.
Yeah, because there's a lot of opportunities for that in Los Angeles County.
Yeah, man.
So you just go right up and over those mountains. Get out of the valley.
Sure, yeah. Get out of here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So we're anticipating that there's still stuff at the grocery store.
Well, hopefully. That's what I'm saying. Or worst case scenario, I'll find a mini mart. It's fine. A couple Slurpees. We'll be all good.
Yeah, that'll last you. And then for the gun, you're going to wait the 10-day waiting period. To go order the gun, get the background check.
No, no. If this is really going on, I'm just going to go looting with everybody else.
Okay, so no, let me write that down, because that's the actual...
Don't forget to write down, be sure to loot.
Right. I'm going to put maraud.
Uh-huh. Loot, maraud, pillage.
Yeah. Yep. Just become a marauder. Like full Mad Max level stuff.
Mad Max. That's it.
With your kids in tow. Like on a leash, being like... Come on, boy and girl, let's go pilfer.
Fit the girl for some shoulder pads with spikes on them.
Yeah.
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 She would look badass.
She really would.
That would be fun.
She would wear that well.
I would do that.
So what I'm hearing you say is there's really, you're not ready if it happened right now because you have nothing at home.
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, there's some groceries.
Yeah, like you got your case of water and all that stuff. You'd pack up that. Yeah. That's easy.
It's really kind of hard to think about what you actually would do in a real world scenario like that because there's just so much to do.
Yeah.
Nobody's prepared.
Right. What we did, there was some fires that got close to us not that long ago.
Right.
And it did cause us to like make a list.
Right.
Of stuff and have it all be able to fit on the dining room table and know that we could just like fit it in the car.
Right.
So... If you kind of see it coming, I would go ahead and like get that list back out.
It's a good idea.
Which entails, you know, take your family photos with you because who knows? You may never come back to your house. Like, take your important documents, which should hopefully fit in one folder.
Oh, that's a good idea.
We keep like a decent like little bit of cash in the house, like in the safe. And
yeah, but
you
if
know,
the government's going down, what's that paper going to do you?
Maybe it does, but maybe there's still, if they honor that, as an economic thing, you might still be able to use it for a little while.
Yeah.
The other thing...
That's why I have 3 extra keys of cocaine under the mattress.
Right, just for safekeeping.
Well, yeah, not for using. It's just for like...
Barter.
For bartering, yeah.
I mean, you gotta get bullets somehow.
Honestly, if the world's governments start going down, you know, you either want gold bars or some cocaine.
Right.
Why not?
Or, like, shoot the middle and do some junk silver.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Copper.
Yeah, like get some kind of exchangeable metal. Like that's something that I actually genuinely intend to do at some point is get like maybe $500 worth of quarters, like junk silver quarters.
Gotcha. Yep.
So that it's actually worth something that you can like give a guy a quarter that has silver in it rather than a dollar that means nothing, that's just paper.
Yeah, but what if you could give him a little bump of cocaine?
You could.
You know what I mean?
A little bit more liability there.
Mm-hmm.
You are technically holding like $1 million in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have like a quarter that's worth like $8.
All right, hold on. Let me send a text real quick. I'm going to tell Mrs. Davern to get rid of all that cocaine.
You probably should.
Hold on. All right.
Very carefully.
There you go.
So yeah, do that.
Smash cut to my house. She's flushing it down the toilet like Karen in Goodfellas. She's cutting it open with scissors.
Just all over the walls.
Henry! She's yelling. Karen! That's all we had, Karen!
It's like someone just baking massive loaves of bread. Just flour all over the kitchen. It's in the garbage disposal. You turn it on, it just comes out in a cloud. So yeah, do that. Definitely, I got my gun situation squared away. So
you're locked and loaded.
Oh, I'm ready.
Maybe next week you should bring me a heater. so I can just, like, put it in the glove box. You know what I mean? That way I don't have to wait the 10 days.
You literally just described, like, four different felonies in that one sentence.
Yeah, but, dude, the world's ending. Who's going to come arrest us?
Yeah, but I'm not going to do that next week in anticipation of that happening.
No, the world is going to end. Trust me.
Oh, okay.
So bring it.
Brett has spoken. Okay, well, then, yeah.
That would actually kind of be the fun part of it, though, is, like, no more rules, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of fun.
Before I leave town, I want to, like, crack a beer and walk down Burbank Boulevard and be like, no more open container laws.
As someone,
come
like,
and get me.
Comes up and shanks you from behind and goes, no rules, man, no rules. And then just runs up.
Purge.
It's the purge now.
Yeah.
It becomes the purge. So, yeah. General lawlessness, got to be ready for. So, you know, your firearm situation needs to be squared away.
Yeah.
And then... yeah, so you got some commodities, you got your guns, definitely get in the car. We are, what I'm really bad at is we're serial low gas people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You really need to, like, keep a half tank of gas in your car all the time, even just for the earthquake.
Yeah, good call.
So much of this is the getting ready for the big one discussion, which we've kind of been really bad about, like not having enough water on hand.
You're talking about earthquake now.
Earthquake, yeah. But a lot of that, you know, has parallels here. But, like, you're supposed to have a half tank of gas in your car in California at all times, because if the San Andreas Fault separates and there's no way to get to Vegas, or, you know, the 15 is cracked in half by 25 feet, no one's leaving, or you're going to be stuck on the road for, you know, 8 days. So you need to be able to have enough gas to, like, get through places.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Honestly, my thought is don't try to get out of the state. Don't go that far. We have so many mountains this area that I feel like you could find.
Oh, there's plenty of wilderness.
A little spot somewhere.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, like you said, grab the camping gear, get in the car, load it as far as you can go, and get up into the mountains, get up to elevation.
What about banding together?
This is where I'm really happy I live in the neighborhood that I live in, because it's all cops, FBI agents, firefighters.
Right.
Like, that would be where I would seriously consider staying for that reason.
Yeah.
But that's more in a general, like, non-disease calamity. I feel like banding together isn't really worth it.
That's what
I'm
saying.
When you're talking about contagion
stuff.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. You might spread that around.
Right, so that's the one scenario that I wouldn't want to stay close to people. I'd want to get literally as far, cloister my individual family and get as far away as possible.
Yeah.
But before I go, I would definitely want to trade for some, you know, commodities before, like, within my community.
How worried about this stuff are you for real? Like, so all joking aside, let's pretend actually for a second, too, that, like, Corona doesn't even exist right now and no one's talking about it, whatever. How just concerned about this stuff, prepared about this stuff, how much do you guys even think about this kind of stuff, these scenarios in your normal life, even before this thing popped off?
Just any kind of, like, sort of world-ending scenario, like,
or
just
massive
calamity?
Do you prepare for this kind of stuff?
To an extent. I think I do probably more than the average person.
What do you do?
Have enough food and water on hand to at least last you a few days.
Okay, but you're conscious of trying to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, we have, you know, a lot of canned goods and non-perishable stuff. We try to at least keep a case of water around.
Yeah.
But
again, with the intention of we might need this.
Yeah.
Because
you just never know.
Or
like, honestly, the biggest threat is the earthquake. Because, like, scientifically, it is going to happen.
Yeah.
The big one that happened over the 4th of July, that was a 6.5.
Oh, yeah.
If that had happened down here, stuff might have, like, gotten pretty messed up. Yeah. And that's just a taste of, like, when the big one, the scientifically factual big one, happens. And there's generally a consensus that it will, with some, like, 90% certainty, happen in our lifetime. And certainly the lifetime of our children.
Mm.
So it could be in 60 years or it could be tomorrow. So that, I think, is the most plausible one, because it is going to happen. So I think that one has caused me to be a little bit more ready and keep more cash on hand, have that mentality of being sort of ready. Have literally just that list was super helpful.
Yeah.
But that list was only about – it's only a few months old. I fell behind. I should have had that list a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because that's what all the earthquake preparedness kits say to do, is have your list of stuff, you know? that you can be ready for and for fire preparedness and everything else. So I think the biggest thing really is kind of just mentality and being ready and knowing if it happens, what would you do rather than when it happens, where are you going to go? Like a couple weeks ago, we sat down, Len and I sat down and said, okay, the big one's happening. It's a 9.0. You're downstairs in this room. Which furniture object do you grab Rosie and like hide behind? You know?
It was a real hot pillow talk at the Kress house.
It really was.
Man.
Yeah, it was immediately following, too. That's so it was so, like, it's just a natural segue.
All right, London. Scenario.
Pop quiz.
Scenario.
It's happening now.
Go, go, go.
Make a decision. This is life or death.
Drill time at the Kress household.
Yeah. So, but that's the thing. Like, honestly, every time an earthquake happens, I have that moment where I go, oh, I forgot to do all the things that the government told me to do.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not prepared. Oh, I didn't think about where to go when I was in this room. And then when the earthquake's over, you go, I'll just wait for the next one.
Yeah, you're fine.
You know? But eventually, it's going to be that one. California is going to be in major trouble. And no one is ready.
You sound like the crazy person on the street corner.
But except for when the U.S. Geological Service is like, no, it's going to happen.
Yeah. So what do those guys know? They don't know anything.
They don't know anything. It's
They're
just
all
science.
Just people. They're all just people.
Yeah.
They don't know.
They're all people.
It's educated guesses, man.
Just looking at computers with squiggly lines going, yeah. Nah, it's an earthquake.
Guesses.
That's all the USGS is.
I'm not prepared for any of this stuff.
You should be, though.
I know, and I hear you, but I'm not. I'm just not.
Yeah.
And it. I don't know. I get it. It's probably stupid, but I'm not. And it doesn't worry me. And I mean, the corona thing has me slightly worried because, like you said, the kids are young and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't have any kids, yeah. Oh my God, I'd probably barely know this thing was going on.
You'd be
on.
Booking a cruise to Mexico right now.
I could care less.
On the Grand Princess.
This stuff doesn't bother me at all, dude.
Yeah.
Germs and stuff, it just never really bugs me.
Yeah. It never really bugs you. Finishing it out with a dad joke.
Let's not start a bunch of may-may about that.
No, definitely not. That's too soon.
I don't know if we covered it or not, but that was the show today.
That was the end of it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Are you prepared? Are you freaked out? And not just about coronavirus. Do you guys worry about any of this stuff? Like collapses of governments, banking systems falling apart, any sort of doomsday scenarios?
Yeah.
Nuclear winter. Do you guys worry about this kind of stuff?
Literally, North Korea not even getting a nuke successfully into the United States, but blowing it up over the United States would knock out the entire grid with the electromagnetic pulse that comes with a nuclear blast.
Sweet
fun fact, everybody.
Sweet dreams, everyone.
They could do it tomorrow.
Look, an asteroid could hit the Earth tomorrow, too. Who knows?
We might have a little warning on that one. If it does, though... When you know the whole world is going to blow up and there's nowhere that you can go, that's a whole different question of, like, what do you do then? What party do you throw?
Well, luckily, I haven't been preparing for any of this doomsday stuff, but I have been building a rocket. So.
From my car,
that's the show today, everyone. Thanks for listening. We're on every Wednesday on Adobe Radio. You can find us anywhere we're podcasted. And if you want to join the show, leave questions, comments, or anything, you can email us anytime, radioactivedads@gmail.com. That's Nathan. I'm Brett.
And I think we covered it.
Good night, everyone.